Father, I pray that each and every one of them will have open ears to hear your word, an open heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, that their lives will be changed because of your word. We give you the glory for that. Thank you, Father, for all those that are watching us online. May they be blessed as well because of your word. And Father, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And I thank you for the honor and the privilege of ministering your word. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said,
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter. I was meditating before the Lord concerning today and what I would minister to you. And the Lord brought this back to me. And I want to minister it to you again. It's been a while, but I want to share some things with you from Hebrews, the second chapter. And the title of my message this morning is So Great Salvation. So Great Salvation. Hallelujah. In Hebrews, the second chapter, the third verse says, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Now, really, what I want to do is back up to the first verse of the second chapter. It says, Therefore, we must give. Now, listen to it closely. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, I could stop right there and minister the rest of my message from that alone, because there are so many things, so many distractions out there that wants to pull us away from God. How many of you know the devil do not want you to know God? In other words, if he couldn't stop you from getting saved, then he couldn't. Amen. He couldn't do it. If he could have, he would have. But if he couldn't stop you from getting saved, he wants to stop you from enjoying your walk with the Lord. Yes. You listening to me? Yes. So he tries to throw roadblocks in the way. He tries to make our lives miserable. But I'm so glad to tell you that God has given us the victory.
Yes. Yes.
Through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the word tells us, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. You got to put some effort into your walk with the Lord. Amen. We just can't kick back and say whatever comes down the pipe, whatever, whatever. It don't work that way. We got to work with him. There's some things we got to do. So, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have what?
Heard.
Say it again.
Heard.
Things that we have heard. lest we drift away. In other words, it's saying it, let me rephrase it this way. If we don't do the word that we hear or have heard, we will drift away. Do you know that there's no standing still in God? Either we're moving forward or we're drifting away. Amen. That's the reason we're told to take heed to what we hear. When we hear the word of God, we are to take it seriously. And we are to apply it to our lives. Sometimes we forget that we have an enemy. We forget that we are in the world. See, Jesus already prayed for us. He said, you know, Father, I'm not praying. This is in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. He said, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil or the evil one. So he already prayed for us that God keep us from the evil one. But guess what? We, and you hear me say this so many times, and it's so true, we must work with him. If we choose to decide, if we choose to side with the evil one, guess what? God's not going to do anything about it, because God's given each of us, listen to me real good, God has given each of us the power of will. The power of will. God has provided everything that we need for us to live a victorious, productive life in him. But we must will to do it. Amen. We must will to do it. God will not violate our wills. Amen. God never put a fence around the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he did give them his word. Because Adam and Eve, they were sin free. But they had a will. So God didn't put a fence around it. He didn't station angels there to keep them away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But what he's told them, he says, don't eat of that tree. Because if you do, then you will know good and evil. But don't you do it. And then he left the tree right there for them to touch if they chose to do so. Why? Because he had already given them his word. And his word was, don't do it. Don't eat from that tree. Are you still in here?
Amen.
Amen. So when we refuse or choose to do something again that we know's not God's will, we're not going to have God's blessing on that. Amen. So we must continue to hear God's word and to act on God's word, and it will keep us from drifting away from God. I like to say it this way. The word of God is like a rocket, has a thrust. In other words, let me refine that just a little bit. The word of God is like the fuel in the rocket. So when you give it some thrust, guess what happens? it goes up against gravity. Because the power of the thrust is more than the power of gravity. But if the flame goes out, what happens to the rocket? It falls back to the earth because of the gravitational pull on it. And the enemy, the devil, and the things of the world is just like that gravitational pull. But we need that Holy Ghost fuel. We need that the Word of God working on the inside of us that continues to propel us forward. And we are not drifting backwards. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But now let's look at verse 2. Excuse me. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's my subject. I gave it to you. Which first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. God loved us so much. He still does, by the way. Jesus loved us so much, and he still does. That he was willing to sacrifice himself on our behalf so that we could share in the good things of God. Amen. Isn't there another old man, amen out there somewhere? Glory to God. We've been given a great salvation. Salvation is simply deliverance. Deliverance. There's a song that they sang, I've been delivered. Amen. I've been delivered too, out of the hands of the devil. How about you? The hold that he had on me, he don't have anymore. I've been delivered. Amen. I'd sing it for you, but I don't know the song. You probably don't want me to sing it anyway. Glory to God. But it's the truth. Sometimes we need to, when we're going through some stuff, we need to tell the devil, the hold that you used to have on me, you don't have no more. Amen. I'm free. Yes. I'm free. Yes. Jesus Christ set me free. Yes. Jesus Christ set me free. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. He set me free. Yes. I'm no longer bound. I've been made free. Amen. Glory to God. We must not forget that. So our salvation, number one, is deliverance from the present evils of today here on the earth, which are temporary evils, but we've been delivered by the blood of Jesus. And we've also been delivered from future damnation. I was on my way to hell, but no more. no more. Glory to God. Why? Because I have eternal life living on the inside of me. That's what Jesus came and did for me. And that's what he came and did for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So great a salvation. I want you to think about that for a moment, because sometimes, listen to me, it's sad. But sometimes folks try to cheapen it, this great salvation. And I hate to say, sometimes preachers are guilty of that. Watered down word of God is just like water in your gasoline tank. You gonna skip, pop, sputter, and finally just die beside the road. We can't water down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We can't water it down. All right. Praise God. Let me read on here. So verse 6, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those that heard him? Now, it says here that it was first spoken by the Lord. Remember in John chapter 14, Thomas. Let's go there, because verse 6, I believe it was. I don't want to misquote this. I think I want to say Thomas, not Timothy, but we'll go there. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus' response to him was this, I am the way, the truth. Anything without Jesus concerning our eternity, if he's not in it, it's not the truth.
Amen.
Let me say it another way. If he's not the center, it's not the truth.
Amen.
If he's not the source, it's not the truth.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now they have it on the screen. Finish it for me. Say it loud.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Read that again.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Matter of fact, read the whole thing.
Jesus said to him,
now, how can you mess that up?
That's right. That's right. Hallelujah.
You got to work at messing that up. Jesus said it. He made it plain. Amen. He was preaching. I am the way. I am the truth,
yes.
And I am the life,
yes.
And no one, no one, no one means
no one,
no one comes to the Father except how?
Through me.
Through me, meaning him, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Jesus was given a testimony of himself.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And then, of course, we know that once Jesus came to the earth, was crucified, excuse me, on the cross, rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came.
Yes.
Matter of fact, Jesus told him, you tarry here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Because if you're going out there in the world, if you're going out in the devil's territory, you need some ammunition.
Yes.
You need a weapon.
Yes.
And we know what happened on the day of Pentecost. He fell. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began speaking in other tongues. Amen. As the Holy Ghost gave them utterance, they began to speak in other tongues. And Jesus told him, he says, now after that, you preach here in Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You go tell them what you've heard from me. You go tell them what you have seen. Tell them what you have witnessed. Let them know that the Son of the living God is still alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Still alive. And they did exactly that. They went and repeated what he told them. Because you have to understand, brothers and sisters, back in those days, they didn't have the New Testament yet. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament yet. So they went and preached. They preached what he told them. They remembered what he said. And by the way, Jesus told them that the Holy Ghost is going to bring things back to your remembrance. Because see, we have to understand sometimes we're just mere human beings and we're apt to forget sometimes. Sometimes we leave things out. But he says, as because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're walking with me and spending time with me, you go preach what you have heard, preach what you have seen, and the Holy Ghost will bring it back to you. And they did just that. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And then it says here, Jesus preached, the believers preached, and the third thing, there would be signs and wonders following the word. Signs and wonders following the word. Let me tell you, you got to understand something. If we want to see more signs and wonders, we got to preach about the signs and wonders. We got to preach and teach what the word of God says about the signs and wonders. And not only just preach it and teach it, we got to hear what the word of God says concerning the signs and the wonders. And it's not just enough to preach it and teach it and to hear it. We got to believe what is preached. And when you stir that up together, you're going to get a miracle somewhere. Something good is going to happen somewhere. God is looking for people that will stand up and say, Lord, I believe you. And because I believe you, I'm going to act like it. Because I believe you, I'm going to talk like it. And because I believe you, I'm going to live like it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We see an example of this. And Peter was preaching before the council. Let's go right real briefly. The book of Acts. Y'all remember the man at the gate? I talked about him a few weeks back. Acts chapter 4. Now I won't read the whole thing, because if I did, I'd have to go back to Acts chapter 3 and read at chapter 3. But I want to pick up just now. You know, because of what happened to this guy, you know the story. I believe he was at the place at the gate called Beautiful. He was lame, and he would beg for money. Well, I say money, he begged. And Peter and John came by. He asked them for something. Peter's response was, "Silver and gold have I none." I'm so glad he didn't say, "Silver and gold have I none. Have a nice day," and walk on into the temple. That's not what he said. He said, "Silver and gold have I none." And now some people like to try to preach that and say Peter was poor. That the Bible doesn't say Peter was poor. Amen. He didn't have any money on him. But that's a sermon for another time. But he said, "Silver and gold have I none." But he said, "But such as I have." He said, "I got something that's better than money." I got something that's better than money. And I'm going to give it to you. And then he told him, he says, "Rise up and walk." Power of God hit him. He got healed. He got up in there. And not only did he walk, the Bible said he was leaping and jumping. Yes. I believe the brother was healed, don't y'all?
Yes.
He was leaping and jumping. And of course, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, y'all know about the Sadducees. They were so sad, you see. But anyway, okay. But anyway, glory to God. And those folks got, they were upset at them because of that. And they got arrested. But then it was just another opportunity for Peter to preach the gospel. So having said all that, now I want to take you to Acts chapter 4. Verse 10. Peter's preaching now. He said, "Let it be known to you all." And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Now he's preaching, ain't he? "By him this man stands here before you whole." I want to read verse 10 again. Is that all right with y'all if I read? "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel and all the people of Cheraw and Wadesboro, Chesterfield, Bennettsville, Pageland, Jefferson, Macbee, Darlington." I better hush because I'm bound to forget something. Everywhere.
Yeah.
He didn't call my city. Hallelujah. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, how did this man get healed? By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And I like what, listen to what he said. Now, you hear what Jesus said about himself, right? He says, I am the way, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father, but how? Through me. That's what Jesus said. Now listen at what Peter said about what Jesus said in verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Glory to God. And we're celebrating it this week. His death, his burial, his resurrection. He gave us life. Glory to God. And then he confirmed his word, like I just said, with signs and wonders. The lame man at the gate is just one example, but there were so many others. Hallelujah. Amen. Why then is this salvation so great? Turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 5th chapter. Are you ready for this? But God demonstrates his own love towards us. Look at somebody and just tell them that God loves them. Look at them. Look at them in eyeball to eyeball and tell them, say, God loves you. But verse 8 again, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Glory to God. Much more than having now been justified, how? Amen. It's by the blood. The song we used to sing, some of y'all remember it. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood that saved me. Hallelujah. Verse 9 again, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? From wrath through him. Glory to God. Wrath can't touch me because I'm in him and he's in me. Glory to God. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be what?
Saved.
Saved by his life. Amen. He's no longer in the grave. Verse 11, I read that. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now, what? We have received reconciliation. Yes, Adam blew it. The first Adam blew it. But the second Adam bought us back. He paid an extremely high price to get us. But he bought us back by his blood. He suffered for us. Because there is, folks, let me tell you something. There is no greater love. No wonder the Bible, from all the way through, especially the New Testament, commands us to love one another, because we are the product of his love. Yes. Amen. Amen. We don't have a right to hate each other.
That's right.
Because he loved us first. Yes. And we're told to go and do likewise. Yes. Love one another. Yeah, but you just don't know how he acts or how she acts. That ain't what God said. God said you love them. When you love them, you're going to pray for them. And if they need help, you're going to help them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like what they're doing, but you can still love them. You can still pray for them. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to read you one more. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Knowing this, oh, excuse me, 1 chapter, 18th verse. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But what? All right, put it on the screen. Some of you may have a different version. I'm reading the New King James. Verse 19, 1 Peter 1:19, please. I want us to read it together out loud, because I'm asking you to read it because I want you to get it down on the inside of us. But come on,
but
precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we were cleansed. Hallelujah. And there's so much more I could say about that. But next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. I'll tell you some more. But I want you to know today, we have such a great salvation. We have been delivered from eternal damnation through Christ Jesus. And we now have eternal life. And it's available to all who will receive him, believe him, walk with him. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's worth the journey. I believe if the Apostle Paul could come back and talk to us, he would tell us it was worth the journey. I believe if the Apostle Peter could come back and talk to us, I believe he would tell us it was worth the journey. I believe the Apostle Paul, that was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, if he could come back and talk to us, I believe he would tell us it was worth the journey. None of us have gone through what those men went through, and many others. We can't slack off now. We can't back off. We can't let it drift away, as the Bible says. We got to keep forging ahead in the name of Jesus, because we have been given such a great salvation. Give the Lord praise for his word. Will you do that? Come on, I think y'all can do better than that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we bless you, Father. Thank you. Say this with me. Thank you, Lord. Some of you know this song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord. Come on, sing it again.